Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We often hear that in order to get something done, you have to set your mind to it. That you have to make a commitment in your own heart and in your own mind to make it happen. You have to set your will and step out in faith. Such was the case almost a week ago when my wife Jana and I took a hike up at Jewel Basin. It was listed as a moderate hike on one of the online listings of area hikes, but there was a lot of uphill. There was a lot of climbing and a lot of treacherous spots, at least to the way I was thinking. Still, we set our mind to say that we wanted to get to the lake that was at the destination of that hike, some 3 miles in, which of course means 3 miles back. We set our mind to it. We made it through the ups and the downs, and we made it to that beautiful destination, seeing the wonderful views, of course, along the way. Paul puts it this way in Romans. He says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Things of the flesh. Things that occupy our minds. Things that we think we need to incorporate in and through our lives in order to make our lives full, in order to give us the things that we want and the life that we deserve. Things like wealth and possessions and personal power, a sense of superiority in our world. But Paul goes on to say that those who set their minds according to the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, what would living according to the Spirit look like? Some people might say that living according to the Spirit means that you pray a lot, or that you read your Bible every day, or that you go to church and you don't miss, even if it's not your Sunday to be in church. I think rather both Paul and Jesus are clear that living according to the Spirit is living according to a way of intentionally being generous, of intentionally standing against oppression in our world and for the sake of our neighbors, intentionally reaching out across the barriers that are built in our world so that we can experience God's joy and God's love together, not just some of us, but the whole world. The same message, I think, comes through this parable of Jesus. This parable that is one of the most well-known, perhaps the most well-known parable, maybe behind the Good Samaritan. The parable of the sower. Of the sower that goes out to sow the seed, and in the custom of the day to walk through the fields and out of a basket or a bag that is carried along, scatter the seeds through the field so that the flowers and the plants may grow where they land. Of course, Jesus goes on to speak about the soil or the seed that lands on the rocky ground or the hard ground that maybe is the pathway along the edges of the field. Those are the seeds that the birds come and snatch up before they have any chance. Or the seed that is sown in the rocky soil, the soil where there is still a lot of rocks. Farmers know about these kinds of parts of the field. These are the kinds of parts of the field that the farmer wants to go out and clear those rocks so that they don't damage the equipment, but also so that the seeds have a chance to grow and form deep roots. And of course, Jesus talks about the seed that falls among the weeds or the thorns. The seed that is choked by those weeds that grow up with it and take all the nutrients. suck all of life out of the ground. And Jesus, it seems, wants to ask us, what kind of seed are you? What kind of seed are you? Have you been tossed onto the pathway? Have you been tossed into the rocks? Do you try to grow among the thorns? Or are you that seed that is lucky enough to fall on the good soil? Jesus, in fact, seems to give this interpretation as he gathers his disciples and he talks about the different seeds. The seeds that fell on the path, these are the ones that are snatched away by the evil one, Jesus says. These are the ones that never have a chance but are immediately picked up and swooped away. Jesus speaks about the seeds that fall on the rocky ground, those who are ones that would like to thrive, but they don't have the depth of soil, and so they fall away. They don't quite have an opportunity to grow deep roots. And Jesus talks about those who try to grow among the thorns, those who are tempted, those who are lured by the ways of the world and are choked off from the good things that they would like to have done in and among them in the world. It seems that Jesus would say that there are just some bad seeds in the world, some like we know of in our own world that we wish we could just kind of push away, that we wish we could get rid of, that we wish we didn't have to deal with anymore. And so we do. We relegate them to the margins of society. We push them away and we say, you don't matter as much because after all, you didn't choose to grow in the good soil. But then I get to thinking that this isn't the way that Jesus usually talks. This isn't the kind of attitude that Jesus usually has about people that, as he said before, were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, it seems, doesn't just allow people to fall upon the rocky or the hard soil or among the weeds, but Jesus has compassion for those. And so it seems that as we look at these images, we see that Jesus is not letting me put my buttons. There. What about the soil? Jesus, I think, would ask us to consider, what about the soil? What about the soil that is part of our lives, that is part of who we are, that is part of how we make up the environments in which we live? Jesus might ask us, what kind of soil do we need in order to grow? What kind of soil do we need in order for our lives to be as whole and as complete and as good, not just for ourselves, but for others around us? I would say probably that we need soil in our world, in our lives, and in the lives of our family members that isn't hard and rigid, but that is full of compassion and generosity and an opportunity to be willing to let the rules bend in order for the circumstances in which we find our lives. I would say that we need soil that isn't full of rocks in our world and for the sake of our neighbors. We need soil that doesn't include the insistence in our own way or in the obstacles that we often put in front of others. We need soil that is free from weeds, that doesn't include the harsh words that we often find ourselves sharing in this world and causing others to feel like they have no opportunity to grow deep. Only too often, these are the soils that we plow for others. In our world, these are the soils that we cultivate in our world, not because we seek to do harm, but because we are so insistent upon our own way, upon the ways of making our own lives better for ourselves. And so in the process, we end up discouraging and condemning others. We are insistent that some of our ways of living are important for us, but don't allow others to live their fullest lives either. At the end of the day, as Jesus shares these words with us, and as we hear the scriptures come alive in our world, we understand that God, in fact, has given us good soil, however. Whatever we've done with it, God continues to give that good soil. God has given us faith. God has given us community, even if we are separated through technology. God has given us forgiveness for ourselves and for one another, and God has given us hope. God has given us that hand to grasp hold of and to ride into the future. This is life in the Spirit. This is the life that Paul is talking about when Paul begs us to cultivate that life in the Spirit, not the life of our flesh, not the soil that we would cultivate for our world, but the new and fresh good soil that God is giving in a new creation today. This is life in the Spirit. Yes. And that is the end of the sermon, because that is the last that the slides want to advance. We are going to have to work on this technology. God has given us all that we need. God gathers us together. God gives us hope. Yeah, see? Back to that. Nope, that's not the right thing. God has given us everything that we need. People around us, places to live, and the opportunity to reach out in faith and in goodness. Perhaps to those people who are existing in rocky soil or among the weeds, or on that hard, barren soil that will provide no growth. God has called us to gather those seeds and scatter them again. Scatter them on the good soil that God has given us. Thanks be to God. Amen.